The face of climate change is visible in cities battered by rising sea levels, bigger wildfires, and more frequent extreme weather. But the Indian subcontinent might just be on the knife's edge of climate change, where it has the potential to disrupt the lives of over a billion people. At the center of the issue is water, sometimes a lack of it, at other times too much. Earlier this month, Chennai, a city of 8 million in the southeast of India, suffered a major drought. On the flip side, unusually heavy monsoon rains have displaced or stranded millions in the region and killed more than 200 people. And it's not clear that governments in the area are doing much at all about it. So says our guest, Saikat Datta, South Asia editor for the Asia Times. Saikat, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks, Eric.
So you've talked with researchers in Nepal about the effects of rising temperatures on the glaciers in the Hindu Kush Himalaya region. What was your biggest takeaway from them?
So this report came out in January this year, and they've looked at the whole ecosystem of the Hindu Kush, as well as special focus on water and the glaciers which are there in the region. And if you see the layout of the Hindu Kush, several countries depend on the glaciers for water in some form or the other. So you have Pakistan, India, Nepal, to an extent China, Bangladesh, and these are the areas which are dependent on the water resources there. And one of the scariest outcomes of this study is that in the best case scenario, that if we are able to reduce or maintain a certain degree of global warming, in that best case scenario, we are still looking at 50% of the glaciers going away. And in the worst case scenario, we are looking at just about 30% of the glaciers will be left by 2100.
So it could still lead to a loss of a third of the glaciers in the region by 2100 if the best case scenario, they can limit global warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best case scenario that they are looking at. And if you see how the rivers are fed, now, for example, India and Pakistan have the Indus River, which is mostly glacier fed. And we also have Pakistan have also signed what is known as the Indus Water Treaty, which governs the use of this water. And there is a lot of tension anyway between India and Pakistan. So imagine a situation where this river were to virtually disappear because the glaciers which feed it disappear. And you can imagine what happens to two nuclear-armed neighbors which anyway don't have the best of relations.
So this has huge implications for India, China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal. And you're talking about the potential for sort of climate-fueled regional tensions, conflict.
If you look at what's happened in the last 3 or 4 months in the subcontinent after there was a major terror attack in Kashmir, one of the first things that the government starts talking about on the Indian side is that we need to renegotiate the Indus Water Treaty. So in a way, we are already seeing the weaponization of natural resources in the subcontinent. We see a similar kind of challenge because many of the rivers which come into India come from what is known as the Tibetan Autonomous Region, which is basically China. So you see water as already a flashpoint in this region. Now, if the water resource were to go down significantly, the tension will just ratchet up significantly in this part of the world.
So, Saikat, in some areas, we're seeing heavier than usual monsoons. Elsewhere, it's severe drought, like in the city of Chennai. What kind of economic impact is this having? And are governments rising to the challenge? Are they being proactive?
So, if you look at a city like Chennai, big IT firms, big corporations, multinationals are sending their workers back home because there's no water. And these are the affluent parts of the city. In the financial capital of India, which has seen massive amounts of rainfall, 16,000 million tons of water had to be let go into the sea because there's no way to manage it. And if you look at the rest of the country, study after study establishes that majority of the water resource comes from groundwater, but governments are just not geared and don't even want to acknowledge the fact that groundwater is your primary source of water.
And farmers in some parts of the subcontinent have a big stake in all this. Agriculture remains a central part of their livelihood. Have farmers done enough to adapt and change, you know, what kind of crops they grow and when, given these water challenges?
Sadly, just the opposite is happening. So as I mentioned, groundwater is the primary source of water for the cities as well as for the farmers. But there is no mapping being done with the source of water and the kind of crops that they are growing. So in severely water-stressed areas, they're actually growing crops like rice or sugarcane, which is extremely water-intensive. And nobody is looking at it in any manner. And in 2009, NASA did a study which shows that groundwater is at alarming levels in all of North India and Pakistan.
Saikat Datta is the South Asia editor for the Asia Times. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Eric. Pleasure.